Okay, it's fantastic. Resuming the men's afternoon kollel. This is one of the crown jewels of the Dr. Yitzchak Belazon Beis Medrash of our wonderful Boca Raton Synagogue community. And it's wonderful to see such a great turnout again and the commitment to a high-level Talmud Torah on a regular basis. Two thank yous before we begin. One is to the overall sponsor of the afternoon kollel. Baruch Hashem, we have a Monday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon slot. I'm sure you've seen all the different speakers. And I want to express our collective great gratitude to Froelich Financial Group, who are sponsoring for the second year in a row. Very grateful to the Froelich family for their generosity. And the Torah that is learned every Monday and Wednesday afternoon is really a great tribute to them. It should be for their family's chus. This particular week, I want to thank Ann and Penny Davidman, who are sponsoring our learning in honor of Rabbi Simi Shabtai, for putting the kollel together. All the Rabbanim who give the Shiurim. So a very special thank you to Rabbi Shabtai, who always works tirelessly on behalf of our Beis Medrash and our Women's Midrashah and the wonderful, wonderful learning that's going on. Each week we put out these delicacies and fine beverages. And so if you would like to take a week to sponsor, if everyone in here took 1 week to sponsor, then we'd be able to cover them for the entire Zman of our learning. Feel free to speak to Rabbi Shabtai. He'll lock you down, and you could follow Davidman's example in their generosity. Okay, this year we're learning Maseches Kedushin. Last year we mastered the 10th parak of Psachim. I hope everybody's Siddurim and Pesach was enhanced by that analysis. And this year we're going to go through parts of Maseches Kedushin. We're not starting from the beginning, nor from the beginning of any parak. We're starting from maybe the most famous place to start, and that is the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes. If you have your own Gemara, that's ideal. Part of the whole idea of the Kollel, our learning, is to sit with your own Sefer, to sit with your own Gemara, mark it up, make notes, wear it out, to make a kinyan on Torah. It should go from Torah Sashem to Torah So. It should make a kinyan on Torah. But until you bring your own Masechta, I put the copy of the Amud we're going to learn on the cover of the source sheets. Okay, so Chav Tes Amud Aleph in Kedushin. We are towards the end of the first parak of Kedushin. And the Mishnah says the following. This Mishnah, which is going to offer some contrast, some distinctions, is coming on the heels of other Mishnayos, which have just offered other forms of contrast. And that is the continuity, according to the Tosas Rid, the Ritva, and others, of this Mishnah to those that preceded it. So the Mishnah says the following. Kol mitzvos al haben al ha'av. Everyone see where we are? 10 lines down or so, the Mishnah. Yeah? Kol mitzvos haben al ha'av. All of the mitzvos that are incumbent on the son, incumbent on the father to do them, anashim chayavim v'nashim peturos. Men are obligated and women are exempt. V'chol mitzvos ha'av al haben, and all of the mitzvos that the son is responsible to do vis-a-vis his father, echad anashim ve'echad nashim chayavim. Men and women are equally obligated in them. Rashi says, "B'gemara mafarsh l'kula masnisen." Our Gemara will spell out the details of the Mishnah. This ambiguous statement: the mitzvos of the ben al ha'av, meaning things a father is responsible for towards his son, and things the son is responsible for towards the father. The chol mitzvah asay, continues the Gemara Mishnah, chol mitzvah asay shazman grama, every positive commandment that's bound by time, anashim chayavim v'nashim peturos. We know we have a klal that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. It's one of those Jewish principles that has perhaps as many exceptions as it does have the rule. But the Mishnah here learns mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs, right? Women, if you have a lav, which is time-bound, women are equally prohibited or cautioned from violating the law of the negative, but mitzvahs asay, positive commandments that are time-bound, women are exempt from. What about, that's mitzvahs daraisa, what about mitzvahs darabanan? This is a big machlokas rishonim, maybe we'll get to it. V'chol mitzvahs asay shelo azman grama, if it's not a time-bound mitzvah, echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim chayavim. Men and women are equally obligated when a mitzvah, a positive commandment, is not at all limited by time. V'chol mitzvos lo saseh, ben shazman grom, ben shalo azman grom, echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavim. And when you have a time-bound negative commandment, men and women are equally obligated with three exceptions. Chutz mi baltakif. What's the prohibition of baltakif? The pasuk says you're not allowed to cut off the corners of your head. And a woman is, that's a lav, a negative prohibition. And a woman is exempt. She is allowed to, if she wants to shave her entire head, she'd be permitted to do so. We'll get into the makif and the nikaf. Is a woman allowed to shave the head of a man? But in terms of the prohibition for herself, ubal tashchis, the prohibition of shaving facial hair. A man is not allowed to use a razor on five areas of his face. It's the Gemara at the end of Makos, a certain type of razor. And a woman is exempt, should she have facial hair, from that. Ubal titama lemesim, a kohen is obligated to preserve a level of sanctity that limits his becoming contaminated by tumah. So a kohen is only allowed to be metame himself to his family, the seven immediate relatives, a spouse, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter. Women, a bas kohen is not prohibited or married to a kohen, even if she's eligible to eat truma. She has the benefits of kuna, but she is not limited from becoming tamei. The Gemara is going to go through each and every one of these examples. So the Gemara set up these principles for us with distinctions. First, the relationship of child to parent in terms of the mitzvahs incumbent on one onto the other in both directions. When it comes to mitzvahs of ben ala'av, men are chayav, women are exempt. And when it comes to the mitzvahs of the father on the son, of the children towards the parents, both men and women are obligated. And then we spoke about the distinctions about mitzvahs asei, shazman, grama. Good. By the way, Rashi defines for us shazman grama. We are used to that expression, time-bound positive commandments. But how do we define, and we're going to spend part of our time on today, continue next week, how do you define zman grama? What's the technical definition of a time-bound mitzvah such that women, at least the general principle, is they're exempt? So Rashi says, zman grama, shazman gorem la shetavo. That the zman, whether it's the calendar day or the hours, the limited hours within the day, namely a mitzvah during the day or a mitzvah which is only at night, shazman gorem la shetavo. Time is what influences that mitzvah to arrive. In other words, it's not a mitzvah that you can do anytime you please or you like. It's not available to you open in an open way or indefinitely. Hazman gorem la shetavo. Says Rashi, chutz mi ba'atakev, pa'asar Rashi, ba'atashas, pa'azakein, ba'atitama, dekohanim. Fine. It's not so simple, that definition of mitzvah zasei, shazman grama. For example, Tosfos, in a number of places, not in your sources, but Tosfos learns that a mitzvah zasei, shazman grama, what makes it zman grama? Even when the mitzvah itself is not limited, but it's tangential to another mitzvah. So for example, can you do smicha on a korban at night? Can you do smicha on a korban at night? So there's no smicha on a korban at night. Is that because there's no smicha at night? No. Why is it? Because when is smicha on the korban done? When does one lean on the korban? The mitzvah is done immediately before shchita, samach l'shchita. And shchita you can't do at night. So would you call smicha a mitzvah zasei shazman grama? So Tosus has a discussion about this. So you see, there's a debate exactly how do you define zman grama? Is it limited by time only directly in principle? What if it's limited by time indirectly? Meaning the smicha is not limited, you could only do smicha during the day, but smicha happens to be connected to shchita, happens to have to be samach l'shchita, and the shchita you can only do during the day. Tosfos has a discussion. But let's go weiter in the Gemara, let's keep going, because I want to get to our source sheets. Or actually, let's look at the source sheets for a second. On page 1, you have here, look at source 2, comes from Yabia Omer. Rav Avadya's Yuritzite was last Friday. Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal, in his Tshuvos Yabia Omer, in Or HaChaim Siman Mem, has the following. L'fi minhag Ashkenaz kotev Yeshua Zayinkev she'ein mevorchos ha'suka el ha'lulav, the Karkasa Barava Shulchan Gavol Minhagi Saloniki Canal. Yesh Losis Ktas Tam. Afima Shakasa Bialkut Shmuel Aleph. Vechana Himidaberis Al Liba. Lama Nishtatfu Anoshim Avadim Uktana B'mitzvos. Why is it we have three categories of people that are exempt from Mitzvah Sasei Shazman Grama? Our Mishnah only listed women. Our Mishnah only provided the contrast between men and women. But the three categories, groupings, are women, slaves, and children. It's an inauspicious group to be lumped with. Women might well, not only in our generation, take offense that their halachic imperatives are defined by the same as those that define for an eved and for a katan. Why are the three of them together? So says the Yalkut and Shmuel Aleph, Yalkut Shimoni, V'fisha'ein lahem ela leiv echad, shenemar v'chana medaberes al liba, v'lo levava. Ayin Shem. So the Yalkut, the Medrash offers this esoteric teaching that these three have one heart. No way are they duplicitous or hypocritical, or do they struggle with a dual identity. They have one heart. It doesn't say, as it does in Kriya Shema, al levavachem, doesn't say we have two hearts. We have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer HaRa, Chazal learned. But here it doesn't say v'lo levava, it says aliba. So you see that women like Avadim Ketanim have one heart. What does this esoteric teaching mean? That somehow this notion of having a unified heart is why they are exempt from mitzvah zman grama, that the mitzvos that are laws zman grama are enough specifically for them. And we find this also in Baba Basra. So why women who are exempt from time bound mitzvahs do they nevertheless voluntarily take the Dalet Minim? Because the Dalet Minim are connected. The Tamar is Leiv Echad. Women are Leiv Echad. That even though it's a Zman Grama, nevertheless they volunteer for that. So this is a very esoteric idea. What does it mean they have Leiv Echad? What does it mean that Avadim Ketanim and women have Leiv Echad? And why having one unified singular heart would exempt them from Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama? The Sefer here, Divrei Shlomo, quotes a different opinion, Source 3. It says, Atam Sheniftiru Nashim Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama. Atam Zeh Kostav Gam Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shur, one of the Rishonim, the Perusha LaTorah Parshas Emor. Mitam Zeh Yotze Gam Medivrei Tosus Kedushin Lamedal, Shukshu Adurav Enelof Mimor Lachayiv Nashim Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama. V'tir Tudap Emor Lefamim Enachayiv Ezecha Dershus Achayir Balea, Kidarmina Isha Ein Sibik B'yad Lassot Neshir Rishus Lachayim Harlem Mekaz B'Sefer Charedim. Fine. So the reason he gives here is that a woman is exempt from time-bound mitzvos because women principally have a responsibility, and this can't be denied, no matter how great a feminist you are, anatomically, biologically, you cannot be in denial of the fact that women are empowered with the tools to host a child, to give birth to a child, and to nurse and nourish a child. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed a world where he didn't want a woman to feel conflicted. I'm the one in, my baby's screaming, my baby needs to be nursed. My child needs homework or a bath or dinner or bedtime. I have responsibilities to my family, to my home. But I have to make mincha with a minion. But I have to get to whatever mitzvah that is that's time bound. So the Avud Raham, the Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, and others say, in order to remove a woman from feeling conflicted between her responsibility to her children and her own personal spiritual growth, her desire to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, I'll tell you what, put them before me. You're hereby exempt from mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. I don't want to compete for your time. Your time belongs primarily with your children. I don't want you to feel competing, and therefore you're exempt mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. So he asks the Divrei Shlomo, im kein ein, and therefore you might ask, don't ask. So why are the girls in the high school on the other side of this building, why aren't my daughters exempt from Mitzvah Shazman Grama? There is no husband. There are no children. There are no diapers, no dinner to make, no bath to give. So let them taka b'chayev in Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Now, Yeshlomar dim kein lo tirtza lehinasei. Kedesh lo tifka min mitzvah, so yipetur mitzvah say, peruvu lachem patru Torah av kashi penuya. So it says the Divrei Shlomo, no. What would happen? You're going to take a high school girl, you're going to take a girl from the age of bas mitzvah, from 12 years old, and you're going to condition her to be obligated in mitzvah sashay zman grama, and to enjoy the opportunities and obligations of time-bound mitzvahs. Now, shall come the age, whatever the age that may be, whatever community you're from, it's time to get married. She's going to say, one second, when I get married, I'm going to lose these positive commandments. Now you'll say, well, let her volunteer to do the mitzvahs. But what do we know from the Gemara? Gadol mitzvah v'osa v'sheina mitzvah v'osa. That the reward when you're obligated is greater than when you're volunteering. The Ritva there explains why. Because when you're obligated, when you're volunteering, you have an implicit sense of enthusiasm, evidenced by the fact that you're volunteering. So the satisfaction and pleasure you get from volunteering diminishes or comes is taken away from the schar that you get for having done it. Whereas when you do it because you're obligated means, I'm not rushing to do it. I'm not so eager or enthusiastic. I'm doing it because God said jump, I ask how high. So there's no inherent hana'a, there's no inherent pleasure as if I'm voluntarily, enthusiastically doing it. So therefore, the Ritva says, that's why the schar, the reward, when you're obligated, is greater than the reward from when you volunteer. It's counterintuitive, but that's the rationale. So a woman is going to go, when she's single, when she's a penuya, when she's single, she's going to be obligated. And she's going to lower her level and forfeit the schar by getting married and now being exempt. What righteous woman? No man would care. He still wants to be married with all the benefits of marriage. But the righteous women will say, what do I need a husband? I'd rather have the Ribono Shel Olam. I'd rather be Mitzvah Vos and Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. And that's the reason, says the Divrei Shlomo, why women are exempt from Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. Rav Hirsch has his own rationale. Yes?
So according to the Yalkut, I mean, that thing about Leib Echad.
Yeah.
So that applies to all three categories, right? Women, Avodim, and children. So is the assumption there because they don't have other things that
Yeah, I don't know that the reasons overlap. In other words, the Avudraham and Rav Yosef Bechor Shor are different than this Medrash Yalkut that Rav Avadya is saying. I think those represent two different reasons. The Avudraham, Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, I understand. I'm not exactly sure what the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni is offering, what the notion of the Leiv Echad.
Is it the concept that the women don't need the mitzvahs as much?
Yeah, I think Rav Avadya, which we know he's certainly not an apologist, so he's not offering his apologetics. But I think what he's saying, based on the Yalka, is that don't conclude that women are on a lower level because they're exempt from mitzvah shazman grama. Adraba. It's the fact that they have a lev echad, they need fewer mitzvahs to condition them to be sincere and to be consistent. So they need less. We, who are on the more pathetic, lower level, we need more mitzvahs in order to condition us. Rav Hirsch writes similarly on the next page. It's Rav Hirsch and his parish in Vayikra Chav Gimel. And I don't want to say, this is a Gemara shir, we're learning Gemara, but I wanted to, the Mishnah mentions the exemption of women, mitzvah seisha zman grama. I just wanted to tackle the hashkafa for a moment.
What does it mean, Lev Echad?
Lev Echad, I think, means that they don't struggle as much. There's not a tension in doing right from wrong. They have a Yetzirah. Chava got us into a lot of trouble. She started it all. So they have a Yetzirah. But somehow, there's less temptation. There's less struggle. And therefore, they're less in need of that. Let's just see the reverse, and then we'll come back. Reverse writes, we've remarked women are not obliged to live in the sukkah. Sukkah is the mitzvah seishas man grama. Only applies to a certain fixed time. As such, as a rule did not apply to women. Women are free from these mitzvahs, riyah, chagiga, tzitzis, tefillah, and lulav, shofar, sukkah. Exceptions to the rule, which are time-bound, yet women are obligated, matzah, pesach, kiddush, hakel, simcha. The exceptions are nearly as many as the rule. When we consider the Shabbos and Pesach are two great institutions of Torah recurring from time to time, and that for both of them, women are duty-bound to observe not only the Isser Malacha and Isser Chametz, but also the positive Zachor of Shabbos, Kiddush, and Pesach and Matzah Pesach, and that equally, although free from the Korban Riyah and Chagiga, they nevertheless have the duty of participating in three great Shalosh, the Shalmei Simcha, and also in the great national gathering of Hakel in the seventh year, their being freed from the other mitzvah of Mangrama can most certainly not be on account of their being considered in any way of lesser worthiness or of importance. In other words, everyone's bothered, everyone's worried that it be misinterpreted somehow that the Torah has a gender bias. But it seems to us to be rather more likely the Torah did not impose these mitzvahs on women because it did not consider them necessary to be demanded from women. All mitzvahs of Mangrama are meant by symbolic procedure to bring certain facts, principles, ideas, and resolutions afresh to our minds from time to time, to spur us on afresh and to fortify us to realize them, to keep them. God's Torah takes it for granted women have greater fervor and more faithful enthusiasm for their God-served calling, and that is, this calling runs less danger in their case than in that of men from the temptations which occur in the course of business and professional life. Accordingly, it does not find it necessary to give women these repeated spurring reminders to remain true to their calling and warnings against weakness for their business lives. So at the very origin of the Jewish people, God's foresight did not find it necessary to ensure their bond with Him by giving women a permanent symbol in place of the milah for men, which is what the Gemara here is going to continue with, which is based on this week's parasha. So again, says Rav Hirsch, similarly, women's exemption, similar to Rav Avadya, the Avud Raham and Rav Yosef B'chor Shur, the exemption of Mitzvah Shazman Grama is a technicality. It's for a technical reason. God says, I don't want to compete for your time. I don't want you to feel conflicted. I submit. Take care of your family. Whereas for the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, and here Rav Hirsch, it's not a technicality, but it's inherent. Women's neshama, their psychological makeup profile is such, they don't struggle with temptation in the same way or manner, and therefore they don't need the same set of mitzvahs to condition them. I saw a third answer. It's not in the source sheets. Rabbi Arya Kaplan quotes and others. Women are much more attuned to time. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu design some mitzvahs to be connected to time? Histakel b'oraiso borei alma. God looked into the Torah and He created His world. What it means is, it's not that God had a world and then He gave us a Torah to teach us how to operate in it. It's the opposite. God had a set of values. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a set of values, and He created a world that would enable us to realize and actualize those values. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the notion of discipline. So He made something called chocolate cake. He made something called the temptation to eat in an unhealthy way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to connect to Him. How will we relate to Him? So He created a structure of parent-child, husband-wife, master-slave, these paradigms of relationships so that we could connect. He also wants us to be sensitive to a notion called time. We're creatures of time. We are products who live in time. So therefore, it created mitzvah sasesha as man grama, which would make us sensitive. So men are a bunch of luftmenschen. You have no idea, morning, afternoon, you're running late, where am I, what's happening? But now that He made us neurotic about mincha, so now we can pay attention to what time of day it is. He gave us shacharis, you have to say kriya shema by a certain time, the amida by a certain time. So we normally, our head would be in the clouds, men are more luftmenschen. So He gave you a sovzman kriya shema, and a sovzman tefillah, and a sovzman mincha, and so on, because now all of a sudden you carry a watch. Now all of a sudden you're going to try to be a little bit more on time. Whereas women innately are more sensitive by time, and that true is too is true biologically. A woman is much more sensitive to her calendar and to cycles and so on, and that might be the reason. So we saw three reasons possibly for why the Mishnah, why the Torah has an exemption, why women are exempt from mitzvah seishas man grama. But I want to get back to our Gemara. Someone had a comment before we get back to the Gemara. Yes, Rabbi.
I understand Eved, because an Eved has mitzvahs like an Isha. I understand that. But what about a child?
Right, where does the Katan fit in exemption? Right, because the katan is, we're only obligated. Right, we're obligated in chinuch vis-a-vis the child.
That's a different story.
Correct, but in terms of the mitzvahs itself, you're right. So where that fits in exactly is a good question. It's a good question. Zok de Halakha Gemara. Everyone see where we are? Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Zok de Gemara. Michael mitzvahs aben ala av. What did this ambiguous statement mean? The mitzvahs of the son al ha'av. Ilema. Are you going to tell me it means kol mitzvos d'machayev bro l'me'eved la'aba? This is a reference to that which the son has to do vis-a-vis the parent, i.e., what are the mitzvos a child has to do vis-a-vis a parent? Two major categories are kibur, kavod, and yira. You have to have kavod and mora. So, says the Gemara, nashim peturos. If what you meant by ben al ha'av is the child towards the parent, what are you telling me? Women are exempt from honoring their parents? V'hatanya, it says in the pasuk, ish, what pasuk is that? Vayikri yotes, the pasuk is ish imo v'aviv tiro, ish imo v'aviv tiro. So says the Gemara, ish, ein li ela ish. I only know a man has to have awe of a parent. Isha minayin. How do I know a woman too must have awe? Kishu omer ish imova vivtiro hare kan shnayim. So, since it says at the end of the pasuk, tirau in plural, lashon rabim, tirau, they should fear, it means it expands it beyond just the ish. So true, the pasuk used the term ish, which sounds like it's limiting to a man, but the fact that the end of the pasuk says tirau in the plural expands it that women too are obligated. So you can't tell me that habmitzas haben ala'av is the child to the parent, because it makes no sense to say that a woman is exempt from kibud av'aim or mora av'aim. We have explicit drasha to teach women are obligated. So what then does it mean, mitzvah haben ala'av? So continues the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda achikamar, ko mitzvah haben hamutalos ala'av la'asos levno, anashim chayavim v'nashim peturos. It means the opposite direction. The mitzvos of the son that are on the father. We're going to get into a moment what that means, because the Gemara is about to give an example. For example, Mila. One of the examples of a mitzvah haben al ha'av is mila. So what do we mean here? Mitzvah haben al ha'av. Do we mean it remains the mitzvah of the ben, but the av has to help him with it? Or it's a mitzvah on the father of the son? That which a father has to do the mila for the son. Well, let's keep going, Viter, and then I'll ask the question. But anyway, it's this category. It's the mitzvos haben hamutalos al ha'av. It's the mitzvos regarding the child that are incumbent on the parent. That's what men are obligated and women are exempt. Tanina, so says the Gemara, that we learn this in a brisa. We learn this explicitly in a brisa. It says, La'adatana rabbanon, ha'av chayev bibivno, a father is obligated towards the child, lamulo, a father has to give a bris to his son on the eighth day. We learn in this week's parsha, levdoso, has to, if it's his firstborn child, redeem him for five slum. Ulalam de Torah, teach the child Torah. Lasio Isha, te help the child get married. I hate the expression marry off, but to help the child get married. Lalam de Umnus, to teach the child a profession, to set them up with a profession. Viesh Omrim, af lashito ben bayim. And there's another opinion that you have to teach the child to. Why do you have to teach the child to swim? Because the mode of transportation, look at Rashi, Lashita Benahar, Shema Yifrash Bisfina Vetitba, Vistaki Menyo De Alashut. Because maybe the child, the main mode of transportation was with a boat. What happens if the boat capsizes? If the child doesn't know how to swim, they'll certainly die. So it's a basic, since the main mode of transportation was a boat, you have to teach the child even this last category of Lashita B'mayim. I'll tell you an interesting story. I went skydiving in Israel twice. Just now, my wife and daughter went together. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. But anyway, the first time I went, I wasn't sure halachically it's permissible. I mean, you could say Shomer Psalm Hashem. Hashem takes care of fools. But we don't like to rely on that. So, are you taking your life into your own hands? Is it legitimate to go skydiving? Even though, by the way, if you look into it, statistically, it is much more dangerous to drive on I-95 any time of any day of the week than it is to jump out of an airplane in Israel. Statistically, it's much more dangerous. But still, is it halachically permissible? So I asked one of my rebbeim, and I was shocked when that rebbe, I don't have his permission to reveal who, but told me that when he was younger, he went skydiving. And he asked Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU, a Talmud of Rav Moshe, whether it was mutter. And Rav Nissen Alpert's response was, Gemara Kiddushin Chavtes. The Gemara says, a father has to teach a child to swim. Why? Because the main mode of transportation was a boat. What if something happened? You need to know what to do to survive. Well, today, the main way we transport between distant locations is on an airplane. So therefore, you have to know how to jump out of an airplane and skydive. So, you said that? It was fantastic. I highly, highly recommend it. Okay? Good. So the Gemara has now clarified that what did our Mishnah mean? Kol mitzvos haben alav means not what the child owes the parent, but what the parent has to do on behalf of the child. And what's included in that list of what the parent has to do on behalf of the child for which men are obligated and women are exempt? What's included is bris milah. So in other words, a man has to provide a bris for his child, but the mother is exempt. We'll actually see. We'll see whether that's true. That's one of the topics. A woman's not obligated as a woman, but might a woman be obligated as a member of the community and Beis Din? We'll get into that topic. But at least from here, from the Braisa, a woman is exempt from giving a bris to her son while her husband's obligated. A husband's obligated to do pidyon haben while the mother is exempt. A father has to teach the child Torah while the mother is exempt. The father's responsible for the shidduch. The father's responsible to teach a job. The father's responsible to teach to swim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosheina malamed is bino umnus, Malamdo listus. Rabbi Yehuda goes further. Not only must you teach your child the profession, must you empower them to earn a living, but if you as a parent fail to empower or teach your child to earn that living, they don't remain in neutral. It's as if you taught them to steal. You taught them to be a thief. Because with day school tuition what it is, with the cost of kosher food what it is, if you can't make a proper living the kosher way, a person's going to end up cutting corners, being dishonest, being a thief. So if you don't fulfill the responsibility of teaching the umnos, then it's the equivalent of having taught them to steal. To which the Gemara responds incredulously, listus alkadaitach? Really? You weren't the best parent ever, you didn't set them up with a great job. You taught them to steal? Ela kilo malam de listus. Right, you didn't literally teach them to steal, it's as if you taught them to steal. Okay? So the child wants to sit. The child's caught up on the Lalamda Torah and never catches up to the Lalamda Umnus. He says, Abba, Daddy, Tati, teach me Torah. I'm not interested in a job. So this whole discussion, the Rambam writes explicitly that a person is forbidden to sit and learn and rely on the charity and generosity of others, with the exception of the Yechidei Skula. The Rambam talks about how Levi were designated as the tribe for learning. Levi were not given cities in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason they weren't giving cities in Eretz Yisrael, they were the first model of the community kolel. Because the tribe of Levi, by design, should live among all the other tribes and territories, sit and learn, and be those role models. So, if they had their own land, they would be segregated, and they wouldn't have the impact of a community kolel. And that was what Levi was designated for. So the question is, does one have to genetically descend from Levi to be eligible for that support? Or, if you want to sit and learn, can you demand that the community support you so you can sit and learn and protect the community through your zchuyos? So the Rambam has a discussion about this. Others do. I gave a whole shiur about this when there was the question of the Tzav Gius, the forced conscription in Israel of the yeshiva bachurim into the army. What are the halachic parameters of it? But the Rambam is not a fan of learning in kolel. The Rambam writes it's reserved for the Yechidei Skula, the Levi, to see oneself as eligible to be worthy of the support of the community is reserved for the extraordinary. It's not reserved. It's not something which should be applied on a mass scale. Not something on a mass scale. But anyway, the Gemara says Lamda Torah and Lamda Umnus. Lamda Umnus. Okay. Rashi. Let's not go Rashi. Let's go weiter in the Gemara, because I want to get to the next thing. Says the Gemara, now we're going to take that Braisa, which listed all the things that the father has to do for the child, that the mother's exempt, and we're going to examine each of them separately. Lamulo. The first thing is a father must give a bris to his son. By the way, what does that mean? The father has to take the knife and sharpen it and...
No,
So the Or Zeruah in the Hilchos Mila Simen Kuf Zayin, it's not in your source sheet, but the Or Zeruah writes Chiyav Ha'ab Milas Beno Lamula Ba'atmo Davka V'lo Al Yedei Shliach. The Or Zeruah says, you see from our Braisa, that if the father is capable of doing the Mila, he may not opt out. If you're not trained and you're going to compromise your son by experimenting on him, by being his moel, then no one would argue that you're obligated to that. But let's say you're a physician, you're a moel, you're able to do it. You don't have, according to the Or Zeruah, you're not yotze the mitzvah through a shliach. If you were able to do it yourself, you have to do it. You have to do it yourself. The Tosfos Rid says that the chi of lamulo doesn't mean the actual cut. Tosfos Rid says the hachanas tzarchei mila. Now, your responsibility is to make sure that your son is gemalt. So whether it's buying the proper instruments and tools, whether it's securing the proper moel, whether it's renting the room at Boker Tzon Synagogue and ordering the omelet station, whatever is included in making sure that your child is gemalt, is gaza mila kedin, says the Tosfos Rid, that's what lamulo means. So the father's responsible. Menola, and how do you know that? The father's responsible, not the mother. Zok de gemara, dechsiv, vayom al Avram esitzchik beno. Next week's parsha, Avram, this week's parsha, gives himself a mila, pretty impressive, and Yishmael. Next week's parsha gives Yitzchak. So what do you see? The fact that Avram gave his son Yitzchak a bris, you see the father has to give a bris to his son. Says the Gemara, v'heichad olamale avua, and if the father relinquished, if the father was negligent in his obligation, mechayev beidin olamahalei, so then the obligation falls upon Bezin. Dichsiv, himol lachem kol zachar. Plus it says in Bereshis, it's talking about Bezin. Himol lachem kol lachem. Who's the plural? Not the father. Here the Bezin is, the lachem is Bezin. Ve'echa de lo mahalei beidina. What if Bezin, and Bezin we can describe as being the community, what if they're negligent? So the child becomes an adult, capable of hiring his own moel. So if his father failed him, and the community failed him, now he has an obligation. Fine. What's the nature of these dinim? Is it that the son never had an obligation? It was exclusively an obligation on the father, and then the obligation is transferred onto the Beis Din, and the son first gets an obligation when he's old enough? Or no? The obligation was always on the son, never on the others. It's just that you can't hold an 8-day-old boy responsible to arrange his own mila. So therefore, there's a secondary or a parallel obligation on the father than the Beis Din to help the son fulfill what is his mitzvah. In other words, whose mitzvah is it inherently? Is it the son, or is it the father and Beis Din until it can become that of the son? What? The grandfather might fall within the Beis Din. He's still not the father. What? It's part of the community and their obligation. Yeah. So hold on to that question. We're going to come back to it. Let's see weiter in the Gemara. Tana de Beir Bishmol. I'm sorry, back. Ihi menolam de lo mechaiva. How do we know? So nice. So far you told me, Vayamal Avram is Yitzchak beno. Avram gave his son a mila. You see that a man has to give a mila to his son. But how do I know that she's exempt? Ihi menolam de lo mechaiva. How do I know she's exempt? Dichsiv, because it says with Yitzchak, kasher tziva oso elokim. Oso velo osa. It says, as God commanded Avraham to give Yitzchak that bris, God commanded not Osam, the two of them, or Osa, her, but only Oso, he. So the paradigm here is men are obligated in Mila for their child, women are exempt. Zog de Gemara, Eshkechen Miyad. Maybe that was only in that particular story. In that circumstance, God said to Avram, you do the Mila, and he didn't say it to Sarah. Lodoros minolon. How do we know in perpetuity that the mitzvah is reserved for men and women are exempt? Zag de Gemara, Tana de Bibrishmo, Komokom Shenemer, Tzav, Eina Elo Zirus. Miyad uladoros. The pasuk says, "Kasher tziva oso Elokim." Tziva is lashon tzav. Whenever we have tzav being used, it comes to indicate one should be zirus, one should do it with alacrity, and miyad uladoros. That whatever is about to be given as a commandment, as a tzav, is intended not just for the particular time, but is intended in perpetuity. Zeruz, dechziv etzav es Yoshua v'chazkeh v'amtzeyu. Oh, I love you, Rabbi Friedman. Hold on one second. Zeruz, dechziv etzav es Yoshua v'chazkeh v'amtzeyu. Mi'al ledoros, dechziv min ayom asher tziva Hashem v'halal doroseichem. We're bringing examples where the language of tzav is used to teach explicitly these three things. Doing it with alacrity, doing it immediately, and it existing in perpetuity. Asks Tosfos a question that should have been bothering all of you. And I'm glad it's bothering Rabbi Friedman. You see on the left side, Tosfos oso velo osa. Ask Tosfos, im tomar lomo likra tepeg le de mitzvah saseh shazman gromu. Shenimo b'shmini l'dosa v'nashim peturos. What do you mean? We just did the Mishnah together. And the Mishnah said, whether because of the Yalkut Shimoni with Chana, or the Avudraham, or Rav Aryeh Kaplan, whatever the reason, women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Is Bris Mila a time-bound mitzvah? Says Tosfos, assumes Tosfos in his question, yes. What makes it time-bound? Yom HaShmini. The first time to do the Bris is from the eighth day. Not earlier. So says Tosfos, is there a time-bound mitzvah greater than this? Your child is born, you got to mark your calendar 8 days later, you can't do the bris earlier, it's a mitzvah seishas man groma. Frek Tosfos, what do I need? A limud oso velo osa. Why did Gemara give me a drusha that God directed the commandment to Avram and not Sarah, and that's how I know women are exempt? No! Women are exempt, why? Mitzvah seish, as man grama. Oh. So who has a good answer? Anybody? Tosfos has a good answer. But let's think. Okay, let's get to Tosfos.
How do you know that a father is chayav? That's why you need the pasuk. In other words, I can't ask about mitzvah seish, as man grama, because I don't know from scripturally how that a father is mechuyav to the malach son. So once I know that, then
I'll... No, first you establish the mitzvah.
Yeah, establish the mitzvah first, and that the father, let's say the father is begotten, and then ask the question about the mother. In other words, chapnish, don't jump to step two until you get to step one.
But you don't have a limud. How do you know men are chayiv and dalad minim and women are exempt? There's no drusha. How do you know men are chayiv and shofar and women are peturos? We don't need a limud. Why? We have the tzivoy is given, and then we apply the principle, mitzvah seishas man groma. So why, says Tosfos, do we not do the same thing with bris? Have the mitzvah, and then apply our principle, mitzvah seishas man groma. I think you're going to ask differently, it bothered me a little bit. God has to give this tzivoy to somebody. So I would have thought the drusha should have been oso v'lo osam. In other words, he didn't give it to either of them to do the bris. He gave it just to Avram. Oso v'lo osa, you could say, well, it doesn't mean women are exempt, it just meant he had to give to one or the other. So if it said Oso and not both of them...
Either or. Yeah.
Right, but maybe it would have said either or. But anyway, that's Tosfos' kasha. Yeah. So let's just understand the principle, methodologically. How can you answer Tosfos' question? There's two ways to answer a question. You could provide an answer, or... You could make it clear that it wasn't really a good question. In other words, you could remove the assumptions within the question. So are all the assumptions within the question correct? The question was, why do I need a drasha oso v'lo osa? It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So is it correct, the assumption that it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? If it's correct, then the question's a good question. Why do I need the drasha? But if the truth is that while it seems like a zman grama, it's not, then it's not really a question to begin with. I'm just explaining that methodologically, when you have a compelling question, you could say the question is taka a good question, but here's why we needed it. Or you could show that the question was never a good question. because the assumption that led to your question was wrong to begin with. So let's see what Tosfos does. Says Tosfos, Yesh Lamar, Kevan de Miyom Ashmina Vahala Ein La Hefsek Lav Zman Gramo. It's a very interesting answer. What's he answering? True, the obligation doesn't kick in until the eighth day, but once the obligation kicks in, then it's forever. So how is he defining? What do you see from here? In other words, what did Tosfos just do? He said, was it a good question? No, it was never a good question. Why wasn't it a good question? It's not a mitzvah seshazman groma. And why is it not a, what do you mean? It's not a mitzvah seshazman groma. Why not? So something about what he's answering is also offering a definition of zman groma. What's Tosfos' definition of zman groma? Oh, so you can explain it maybe time defined on both ends, that it has to have both a beginning time and an expiration. Here, the mitzvah of Mila has no expiration. Once the eighth day comes, if you didn't give the Mila, it goes with you your entire life. It's a big discussion in the Rambam. How often are you violating the fact that you're not gemalt? Do you violate another law of every moment you're alive? Or is it that if you die having never had a Mila, now you violated the having never had a Mila? How do you understand it? Do you repeatedly violate a lav? Or the lav is kind of suspended? Let's see whether you ever correct it before you expire. But Tosfos somehow is saying that when you have a mitzvah that starts, even though the beginning is calendaric, the beginning is dependent on the calendar. You can't do a Mila till the eighth day. But once it starts, it's indefinite. There's no expiration. And for the Tosfos, that's no longer considered time-bound. So maybe the way to define what Tosfos is saying is, you need bookends on both sides. You need it to be bound by time both in the beginning and bound by time in the end. How else can you understand what Tosfos is saying? Why maybe it's not time-bound? What? Well, we'll get to that too. In other words, that's a question of Tosfos. You say, it's a very big question of Tosfos. What do you mean? So the fact that it doesn't have an expiration, okay. How about the fact that you can only do a bris during the day, not at night? Why does that not make it time bound?
How about the fact that you have to do the new day on
Shabbos? You can't do the Sunday. True, but still, I would think that the beginning makes it time bound. Maybe another way of understanding Tosfos is that this is not a cyclical or a repetitive mitzvah. Maybe only mitzvahs that I revisit are considered mitzvah shazman groma. So lulav and shofar, matzah, it's a mitzvah shazman groma. But something given to me once in life, true, I can't do it that once in life till the eighth day, but then it's indefinite. Maybe that's not mitzvah shazman groma. So there's a discussion, what exactly Tosfos is suggesting to remove the assumption that was in our question. But Tosfos is not answering the question, he's removing the assumption. He's saying, you're wrong. It was never a mitzvah seshman grama, and that's why the Gemara needed the drasha of oso v'lo oso. But then Tosfos asks another kasha. V'im tomar akati mitzvah seshman grama de'en molen el biyom k'disa per ka'aral. As we just said, the Gemara Yevamos says, you could only do mila during the day, you can't do it at night. So you're right. Who cares? No expiration, indefinite once it kicks in on the eighth day. What about the fact that it's limited by the time of the day? That should make it zman grama. And if in fact that's enough to make it zman groma, why? Why do I need the drasha oso velosa? Tosfos answers: Yeshloma diisk man damar hasam de mila shlo bezman ano heges bim biyom ben belayla. Because you're right. On the eighth day, the Gemara there is learning you have to do the mila during the day. But if you violated or for whatever reason medically you couldn't do it on the eighth day, a mila shlo bezmana. If the bris is not on the eighth day, there is an opinion that such a bris could happen at night. So maybe our drasha oso v'lo oso was necessary so that even that opinion would see women as being exempt, which they wouldn't have if they saw a woman as being, if they saw bris as being eligible at night. So again, there is an opinion that a mila after the eighth day can be done at night. We don't paskin like that, but that opinion would have led to the conclusion it's not a time-bound mitzvah because you could do the mila 24 hours a day. They might have then thought if it's not a time-bound mitzvah that women are obligated. And that's why you need the drasha, oso, v'lo, osa, so that across the board, all opinions would see women as being exempt. That's how Tosfos deals with this question. The Ramban, the Ritva, they all asked this question. They were all sensitive to it. You see the Ramban here on the next page. Zok the Ramban. See the Ramban, the first paragraph on the top, on the right. Chav Tesamad Aleph. Oso v'lo osa, ikin the Mepharshi kids, tzrich kor l'man da'amar, shalob bezmana bim b'yom bim b'layla, t'ilin l'man da'amar, eina ela b'yom, lama likra. So he's referencing whom? Tosos. Some say the reason you need the drasha oso v'lo osa is because of that opinion in Yevamos that a milo shalob bezmana can be done even b'layla. But he doesn't like it. Because what about for the opinion that you can only do mila during the day? That should make it a zman grama. What do I need the drasha for? So listen to what the Ramban says. Lamali kroi mitzvah asay shizman grama even ashen peturos. The ika lefrishay itzrich. No, we need the drasha oso v'losa. Why? Salka daitach amina. I might have thought ki patre noshem mitzvah asay shizman grama. Honey mila b'mitzvah gufayu. Kegon tefillin demehasam gamrinon. Aval mitzvahs mila delacharini vihilo shaychabei emor techayev dahaya bezin shchayev and lamulan kamash malan. Why might I have thought that mila is not a mitzvah seishas mangrama? Why do I need oso velosa? Mila tak is a mitzvah seishas mangrama, but says the Ramban, I might have thought it's not. So I needed the backup of oso velosa, this drasha, to make it clear that women are exempt. Why might I have thought that this is not, that Mila is not under the general category of time-bound mitzvahs? So says the Ramban, because you might have thought, what's a time-bound mitzvah? A mitzvah shebegufayu. A mitzvah you have to do onto your own physical being, yourself. So putting tefillin on, you have to wear tefillin during the day, not at night. It's a mitzvah seishas mangrama. So women are exempt, because tefillin is a mitzvah you do onto yourself. That's what we meant by a time-bound mitzvah, a mitzvah you do unto yourself. But I might have thought that mila is not done unto myself. Mila is done unto somebody else. So maybe a mitzvah which is done unto somebody else is not a time-bound mitzvah. And why would I have said that?
I don't understand the answer. I don't understand what he's saying. Shofar is the same kind of mitzvah. In other words, I don't know how to blow shofar, so you blow the shofar for me.
Correct, but what's the mitzvah of shofar? To hear. So you're blowing, but it's a mitzvah begufayu. I have to hear the shofar. Lekachtem lachem, I have to take dalad minim. I have to eat the matzah. I have to wear the tefillin. So when the Torah says women are exempt from mitzvah shas mangroma, it's a mitzvah begufayu. But this is not a classic time-bound mitzvah that I do to myself. This is an act you have to do on someone else. And says the Ramban, he throws in, maybe she should be obligated like Beis Din. In other words, just like Beis Din is obligated to ensure that that child has a mila, and it's not a mitzvah on the dayanim. The dayanim, it's not like the dayanim putting tefillin on themselves. It's a mitzvah the dayanim of Beis Din, the community is responsible for the child. So maybe she too should be responsible for the child, since it's not a classic mitzvah seishas mangrama that she would do for herself. And since you might have thought that, Kamash Malon, we have the drasha, oso v'lo osa. No, women are exempt from mila.
So she now have a chiyuv, according to the Ramban, she now have a chiyuv as it applies to Beis Din as part of
So it sounds like for the Ramban, she does not have a chiyuv.
She does not.
It sounds like for the Ramban, she absolutely does not have a chiyuv. Correct. Correct. She doesn't do any of those things, right? The Ramban is suggesting that you might have concluded that the category of mitzvah seishas mangrama only applies to mitzvah gufayhu. Mitzvahs you do only onto yourself. Right? So what the Ramban is really saying is, you might have thought that mila is an exception to the rule, because a woman shouldn't be less than Beis Din. Just like Beis Din have to ensure the bris, you might have thought that generally we have that rule, but a woman's not less than Beis Din, she too. And therefore comes along the drasha, no, a woman is exempt. The Kilas Yankov, the stipler, it's not here in the source sheets, But the Stipler says, that which women are exempt from mitzvah shazman grama, is only true from a mitzvah which is incumbent on them. But a mitzvah on her son, which was never her obligation, so it's not her obligation, it's her son's obligation. In other words, let me rephrase that. Says the Stipler, this machlokas Tosfos and the Ramban, how you answer that question, might depend on how you view the nature of the parent's obligation to the child. So when you say there's a mitzvah on the father, lamulas bino, I alluded to this earlier, are you saying that the mitzvah is still on the child? It's his mitzvah. It's a mitzvah begufayu on the goof of the child. I'm just assisting. It's my responsibility to help. But it's his mitzvah. Or do you say no? The child is incapable. And until they are, they have no mitzvah. The whole mitzvah of Mila is on you. What's the nature of the father and then of Beis Din getting involved? Are they helping the child, but it's the child's mitzvah? Or do they have the mitzvah itself? So says the Stipler, that's what Tosfos and the Ramban are arguing. According to the Ramban, what the Ramban is saying is, I might have thought, Beis Din don't have a mitzvah of Mila. It's not their personal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to help someone else. So even if you want to tell me a woman doesn't have a personal mitzvah of Mila, because it's a mitzvah that says man grama, but she still has whatever Beis Din had, which was a mitzvah to help somebody else. Because the Ramban, according to the Stipler, is understanding that the nature of the mitzvah being on the father or Beis Din is not that they adopt the mitzvah, it's not their mitzvah, it remains the katan's mitzvah, they just have to help the katan. So the same way Beis Din doesn't have the actual mitzvah, they're just called upon to ensure, I might have thought too, a woman who doesn't have the mitzvah, because she would be exempt from the mitzvah if it were her mitzvah, because it falls under mitzvah seishas man grama. But the mitzvah is never on her, just like it's not on Beis Din. So she should not be less than Beis Din in being obligated to ensure. And that's why I need the special drasha, oso velo oso. Whereas for Tosfos understands, no. The obligation actually is transferred. It's not the Kotan's obligation. It's not the Tinok's obligation. It's the father's obligation, or it's Beis Din's obligation. And that's why Tosfos had to give a different answer, because he was still bothered. What do you mean? If it's her obligation, if it's Beis Din's obligation or the father's obligation, why would we even consider that it would be her obligation? It's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. To which we explain, no, it's not a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. That's why I need the drasha. So says the Stipler, the disagreement between Tosfos and the Ramban about how to answer the question, why do I need the drasha? It's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, really reflects the two perspectives on how to view this mitzvah. Is it the mitzvah of the child, but the father then Beis Din are called upon to help? Or no, until the child can do it, the child has no mitzvah. The actual mitzvah's mila is on the parent or on Beis Din, with the nafkamina of where you see the role of women.
So if the kid got to be 13 without a dress, then it becomes his mitzvah.
Correct. So what happens from 0 to 13? Is it that the child always had the mitzvah, but he couldn't do it, so others help? Or is it that no, child doesn't have a mitzvah when they're not yet 13? The whole mitzvah was on the other. How do you view the nature of the mitzvah of Mila? Yes?
When did somebody became a godo, so then did the father not have a mitzvah anymore? The father's mitzvah, then how does he become exempt from the child became an adult?
So if you understand like the Ramban, it's not easy. The child, father never really had a mitzvah. The father was just, you know, holding a space. Child couldn't do it. Now you're capable of doing it. I'm no longer responsible to carry you. If you understand like Tosos, then it's harder. But still you can explain. The father never had an indefinite obligation. The father has a obligation which only exists until the child can do it for themselves. We're out of time. Even though there was so much more. We'll go through next week. In the packet, you can either keep the packet or give it back to me and I'll hold it for next week. But I want to go through Rav Shechter as a piece in Eretz Atzvi, what you see from here about how you define mitzvah seh shazman grama, and then two fantastic pieces in Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Asher, about whether Mila is a mitzvah seh shazman grama or not. Both of these pieces will help us understand. So we saw the Mishnah, we saw part of the Gemara, we saw Tosfos ask Givaldik Akasha, and we saw the Ramban asked the same Kasha, gave a different answer. Why were Tosfos and the Ramban arguing? We saw the Stipler, and next week we'll see more interpretations about why exactly they are arguing.
All right.